This is the time of year in the liturgical calendar when the church asks us to start with the end in mind. Our reading in these last weeks of the liturgical year deal with what are called the last things: death and judgment, heaven and hell. Our gospel last week was the parable of the wise and foolish virgins who are awaiting the coming of the bridegroom. And this week we have the parable of the talents, which talks about the master who is gone for a long time and then returns. Both these parables are about the second coming of Christ, but they're also about what we call the particular judgment. We're all going to die, and we're all going to have to settle accounts with the master. With these last things hanging over our head, the response of the third servant doesn't seem terribly irrational in terms of his fearing the master and what the master can do to him. But is this what Jesus wants for us? To be cowering in a corner, waiting to be judged inadequate, and then tossed into hell? Don't get me wrong, we will face judgment. We are not guaranteed heaven. As disciples of Christ, there are things we have to do. Hell is real. The third servant is cast into the darkness, where there is wailing and grinding of teeth. But does Jesus want us to be fearful like the third servant? One theme that runs through both our reading from Proverbs and then in the gospel is the fear of the Lord. And one of the things you notice about the worthy wife in Proverbs and the first two servants in the gospel is that fear of the Lord actually makes you pretty fearless. Their fear of the Lord doesn't lead them to look at God as a taskmaster at all. Rather than cowering in a corner, they're emboldened. So what is going on here? Fear of the Lord recognizes who God is and who we are. God is the creator of the universe. We are creatures in a tiny part of that universe. So God deserves our deep respect and awe. While we are made in the image and likeness of God, we are not God, not by a long shot. Think of Peter's reaction when Jesus tells him to cast over his nets into the water after Peter's been fishing for a long time and has caught nothing. Of course, Peter's thinking, yeah, this isn't going to work. But he does it anyways, and then when he brings in a big catch, just like the Lord said he would, what does he do? Peter falls to his knees, and he says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Or think of Peter and James and John when they witness the transfiguration of Jesus. When they encounter God's overwhelming power, they fall to the ground in fear. That fear comes with this encounter of God's power. But fear of the Lord also recognizes that God loves us and wants us to love him. So if we understand that God is all-powerful and that God loves us, we don't end up cringing, but we end up becoming bold. The worthy wife in Proverbs is not treated like a domestic servant. In fact, the Hebrew word that's translated here as worthy can also be translated as valiant, a term that's used elsewhere in the Bible for a warrior. She is in charge of the household. She gives generously to the poor and needy. And she's out in public at the city gates. The worthy wife is no shrinking violet. While she fears God, she's also emboldened by the knowledge that God holds out his hand to her just as she holds out her hand to the poor. So what is going on in the gospel? The problem is the third servant really doesn't understand who God is and who he himself is. And so he sees God as demanding and is to be feared because of what God can do to him. He takes an adversarial relationship with God. But that's not at all the attitude of the first two servants. Like the worthy wife, they're confident. They know the master is powerful, but they also feel the master's support and his confidence in them, and so they feel like they can take risks. Their investments are uncertain, but their trust in the master is not uncertain. Notice how the master praises the first two servants in exactly the same way. It's worth noting that in the gospel, a talent is a sum of money. We don't know exactly how much. One scholar puts it at like 15 years of a working person's wage. So 5 talents is the equivalent then of 75 years of work. It's a huge amount of money. And although the first servant nets the master more than twice as much as the second servant, the master doesn't say to the second servant, "How come you didn't give me as much money as the first servant?" Both receive exactly the same reward. It's also important to know that the master doesn't give the servants the same amount of money. The master knows the servants very well, and he knows what they can and cannot do. And it actually shows how much he cares for them that he doesn't give them more responsibility than they can handle. When we were confirmed, the Holy Spirit came to us in a special way. And the Holy Spirit gives us 7 gifts, and one of those gifts is the fear of the Lord. We were not given that gift to be cringing like the third servant. We were given that gift so we could know who God is and who we are. In the sacrament of confession, the bishop asks for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and specifically asks for the gift of the fear of the Lord. In that prayer, he says, "Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence." That wonder and awe is the fear of the Lord. In confirmation, it results in strength, and from that strength, we gain the kind of confidence that we see in the worthy wife and the first two servants. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis summed up quite well the relationship between the fear of the Lord and the confidence that it brings his disciples. In Lewis's novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion named Aslan represents Christ. And one of the characters in the book, Mr. Tumnus, says of Aslan, "After all, he's not a tame lion." And then another character in the book, Lucy, replies, "No, but he is good." As we contemplate the last things in these final weeks before Advent, we should pray to the Holy Spirit for a renewal of that gift of the fear of the Lord, so that like the worthy wife and like the first two servants, we will know the certainty of God's power and God's love in these very uncertain times, and that we will act boldly for God in that knowledge.